5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true.
All-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It is the new Panic Room episode 275 on what promises to be, and it has been all day, the 12th of May 2022. And yeah, here we are again. We say it every week, so I'm going to say it again. And it was just like yesterday, we did this, we went through all this nonsense. And here we are again, and it's Thursday. And on the plus side, it means it's the weekend shortly. And on the slightly negative side, it means, you know, we're another week closer to the grave. So there is that. Silver linings and all that. But speaking of silver linings, my little ray of sunshine, we're going to bring her on.
Come on, aren't we?
Well, yee-haw, and hear me do, Xtina. How are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm good. I think I'm a little, I don't know if flighty is the right word, but I'm sitting here and I was just listening to the banjos, and I was just in my own little world there, and then I was like, oh my gosh, the music's winding down. I have to like try to figure out how to unmute myself here. It was a scary moment there for a second, but
we've been doing this how many years? Well, nearly 7 years now, and you still have to, you know.
I used to fret all day long on Thursdays. Oh my gosh, I had the show, and I'd be nervous. And, you know, I'm not anymore, so I think that's what it is. I was just, you know, relaxing and listening to the music.
I always remember trying to get any sense out of you on any given Thursday. It was just impossible because you were just in knots over this. And
I know.
You took a leaf out of my book. And again, you know, it's no joke, listening. I literally turn up 10 minutes before we come on. And sort of wing it pretty much, but again, like I say, if it wasn't for you, it really wouldn't. Nothing would happen because you bring it all together, which is kind of cool because you know, as I say, and it is time is going so bloody quickly. You know, funnily, obviously, you know, with my daughter, I mean, obviously she's middle school at the moment, and literally she's got. Well, tomorrow, and then another couple of weeks, and then she's off for the summer. Wow, it's just like suddenly we're facing summer, and it is going to be here before we know it. And the sad thing is, I mean, they've just finished their star testing this week, and then for the next, basically, they just toss it off for the next 2 weeks. They teach that when I was a lad. We used to, and I was once, you know, we used to, on the very last day of school, you know, before summer break, you know, we could bring games in and play and that. They taught shit up to the bitter end. I'm going to say it's going to make me sound old and maybe a little bit snobbish, but education in my day is better. Damn sight. I was learning stuff in middle school that kids at high school here, not even touching on. Seriously, I remember a few years ago, my son, who's left high school and he's done all that now, he was in his, whatever it was, junior year, and he showed me a project he was doing, and it was lower than the standard that we were expected to do in middle school. No word of a lie.
Wow.
No, I mean, they don't seem to correct their spelling, or they grab my daughter at 13. You know, it's funny, she'll text me, and I, obviously, I can't help it, you know. I always correct it. She doesn't know the difference between to and to, and there, there, and there. She doesn't know that. Mm. And this is basic. I mean, seriously, no word. This is basic stuff from the week they taught us in infant school when I was a kid. You know, basic mental arithmetic, you know. It's worrying. It really is.
I remember one time texting with my daughter. She's 24 out, you know, now. And I was talking the way I normally, I use commas and things like that when I'm writing. And she actually had to stop me and tell me she did not understand when I used the commas. And I'm like, I don't understand it when you don't. So that was definitely an interesting, and speaking of time going by, my son, the baby is graduating on the 20th, graduating high school.
I know, I saw that on TV, wow. So, and then that's it.
He does, he's talking about college. He wants to follow in his, his sister's boyfriend went to college for welding, and he heard he can make a lot of money doing that. So,
Jeez. Yeah, I've been having stuff like that welding, certainly here in Texas, HVAC. There's a guy I know, he didn't actually graduate high school because his father was Navy and he would, you know, move. So he never actually graduated high school. Mm-hmm. Got to work for a pool company doing pool maintenance and everything to pools. And he's making a fortune. He said, I've got no student debt. He's making an absolute fortune. Because as you can imagine here, I mean, everybody and the dog has got, except me, everybody's got a pool. And we have a car. We, we've but where the new house is, we thought we'd pick our wristbands up on Saturday for the community pool. It's funny actually because we used to have a pool, but of course my daughter being her, is all excited at community pool. She'll get to go and hang out in the pool, and there'll be boys and all the rest of it. So I'm gonna send the pit bull with her, and I'm gonna train the pit bull to just attack any boy that looks at her. I think that's fair.
There you go.
I think that's fair. Kill. She probably would. And it's nice. It's literally just around the corner. We get all the fun of the pool and everything.
Cool.
You don't have to pay for it. Part of the HOA fees, which is fine. And like $20 for the wristbands for all of us. That's it. We don't have to clean it and put chlorine and all that bullshit. Loving this. This is great. I'm loving life right now. This is brilliant. What? Were you gonna say something interesting?
No, probably not.
Do you ever, really?
Mm. No, I think that's not fair.
You add a lot of value, a lot of comedy value to the show, so thank you for that.
That's why I'm here, yeah. That's why you keep me around. Yeah.
No. And speaking of why I keep you around, I'm assuming you've got a root tooting, hunting and shooting type of show going on tonight for us.
We do. I'm just going to introduce our first guest, and we're just going to go right in. How's that? Because I'm excited.
I wasn't ready with the button, but I am now. So, got me on the hot
right.
There.
I'd
hate to press the wrong button because that never happens.
Never, ever. Our first guest of the evening, we have free-flowing psychic medium and author Catherine Branham. Woo!
Hello!
Hi, guys!
Hey, Catherine, how you doing? How are you?
Awesome. I'm so excited. My favorite Brit and his sexy sidekick.
Woo! I like that.
No, it's not. It's only Xtina. Don't get over it. Don't get too excited. But and obviously, full disclosure. A lovely husband and me. We live 20 minutes apart, which is kind of cool. So we're neighbours. My Texas are literally next door neighbours. So that's pretty awesome. I have to say.
I love it. Yeah, we need to get together for another great lunch.
Well, we are long overdue for another lunch in the Woodlands there.
Yes,
so I did notice, and we'll give it a shout out now. Book signing, is it this weekend or is it next weekend? It's this weekend,
yes.
Isn't it?
No, Saturday. This weekend, yes. So excited.
That is brilliant.
So excited.
Yeah. Excellent. And this is your new book that you're here to talk to us about tonight, which is called How I Find My Superpowers. And I have had the honor of not only reading the book, but designing the cover as well, which was exciting. So give us a little bit about it, Catherine.
Oh, I'd love to. I have a short section I'd like to read from the book. And it is it's a mixture of spiritual experiences, the paranormal, and some grueling times before I actually found my footing. And I selected this little section. It's from Chapter 7, The Glasses. Would you care to read a little bit?
Absolutely, yes. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Scarlett looked at the woman sitting at the end of the table. "Please give her the glasses," she said while she motioned to me. The woman took out the pair of glasses and set them on the table. Scarlett turned to me and said, "When you pick up the glasses, I want you to immediately share the message you receive and the feeling that you get when you hold them." I picked up the glasses, and within a few seconds, I felt as if I was running. I became out of breath, even though I was sitting still. As I was feeling breathless, I began to describe each sensation. And suddenly, I felt a knife go into my back, and I had a feeling of falling forward to the ground, The weight of a man was on my back, and at that moment, the fluids began moving throughout my body in places where they shouldn't. As I felt I was still on the ground, the knife went into my back again and again. Suddenly, there was a bright light and the smell of gardenias. St. Francis stepped forward and said, "She is not here. The owner of those glasses spent a short time here, then reincarnated." I leaned back in my chair as I had never felt something so horrific from merely holding an object. The woman who had handed me the glasses was in tears, and Scarlett looked around the room and said, "That's exactly what happened to the owner of those glasses." And I handed them back to the woman. There you go.
Wow. I've got goosebumps. Sorry.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, that is intense stuff. And this is something that you experience regularly, yeah?
Yes, this actually was a pair of glasses. The woman had gone to several different psychics, and she was looking for someone who could read what happened that night to her sister and if there was any messages from her sister that would come forward. Well, I encountered this woman named Scarlett, and I mentioned how I meet her in the book, which was very unusual. But I encounter her. She invites me to this class that she's doing, and she's very friendly and tells me to bring a friend. And we get to the class, and she tells everyone, well, everyone that bought an object put it into a bowl. And I thought, well, I didn't bring an object. And she said, you know, everyone's going to go around the room and hold an object. So the glasses belong to the woman who the murder actually happened to, and her sister would carry these glasses around with her. So her sister was sitting there, and that's the lady I handed the glasses back to. So there's wow. several different scenarios mm-hmm. where I describe what happened and how I learned, you know, a lot of these things and the story behind it.
So I mean, how far back?
That was one of the most horrible ones.
Yeah, I mean, to actually rather than see it, I mean, experience it. Mm-hmm. That must have been terrifying. I mean, you know, you obviously something terrible happened, and you relived that. So that cannot have been pleasant. I mean, how far back does this gift go? I mean, when did you first realize that, you know, that things were happening this way for you?
Well, I had seen since I was a little kid, and mm-hmm. so I would tell my family about the different spirits, and I knew when someone was going to pass because I'd see spirits come in to help them across. And so it was around age 3 or 4 that I remember very vividly, mm-hmm. you know, talking to beings that, you know, my family would say, oh, they're not there. You know, I don't see anything. But the first mm-hmm. time I had this experience where it was an actual item from a murder case was the story I just read to you, that just a quick mm-hmm. snippet from that. But I've read for several different situations similar to that since then. And I have, this is... you know, part of what I described in the book on how I found this out. But I also have a book coming out in October on all the different murders I've read for. It doesn't have all of them in it, but it has a good bit, and each chapter contains different, you know, 2 or 3 different stories.
Yeah, awesome. I am really, really looking. I've had the benefit of seeing, reading a little bit of that, and I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, that is just... that's right up my street, actually. I love all the true crime stuff, you know. And from, I know it makes me sound pretty gruesome, but, you know, from that perspective, though, you know, it's a completely different angle, you know. I mean, how does it affect your daily life, Catherine? I know you, and if I didn't know, you know, the gift that you had, you're a sort of regular gal, you know. I mean, how does it impact on your daily life?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, James, there's a few nights I'm rocking in the corner, you know.
Oh, wow.
I bet, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on who I'm working for that day. And, you know, there's just like with any other job, there's, you know, there's some customers, you know, you're just really happy to see at the customer service desk. And then there's a couple that come in and, you know, you're basically gripping the counter, you know, with the oh shit bar you're reaching for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a few that, you know, I read for on a regular basis where it's this type of situation or these type of readings that they're wanting or information they're looking for. But I try to space them out, you know, maybe once a week so it doesn't wreck the whole week. You know, it's very – I've learned to get a hold of it.
Right. I guess you have to for your own sanity.
From your bio, it said free-flowing psychic. I'm not really – I'm not sure what that is. So what is it? I know what psychic is, but they're free-flowing. Yeah.
Like, right. So some people will say they need a birth date or they need to do a number or they need this, you know, or they need to tune in. But what happens is if, you know, let's say you and I are out having lunch and we're just talking and you ask a question, I automatically hear the answer, even if we're not, if you're not looking for me to answer it.
Wow.
So, you know, it could be something just random. So when I'm in a session with someone, or they want to speak to a deceased person, I will often say, have your questions ready because it goes really fast. So as soon as they state the question, I hear the answer and I give it to them. I don't need a backstory. You know, I don't need you to tell me anything about the person other than what you called them. So if it's not even a last name. So, you know, if you call them Bobo, you know, and their real name was, you know, Roger or whatever, I just need the name you call them because I run off of frequency and I use your spirit guides, your angels as my cheat sheet.
Wow, that sounds so exhausting. It, I'm like, but
it
I'm
and sometimes
so
I hear answers I don't want to hear. You know?
Yes, yes. That's what I was wondering. You know, if you're just, you know, having lunch with, you know, say James. You know, where you're like, oh my gosh, and just, you know, because I know some of his secrets.
moving on. Moving on. Actually, that's the thing. I mean, you know, for me, you know, I enjoy the lunch with Catherine and her husband and that. And part of me wants to ask some of these questions, you know, but then there's another part of me. I don't want to impose because we're not there for that. We're there, you know, as friends, I guess, you know.
Right.
But part of me doesn't want to ask because I really don't want to know the answers.
Yes.
And Catherine probably knows all my darkest secrets anyway by now because one of the spirits will have grasped me up. I know that. Somebody's dobbed me up and told her all the grubby little stuff that I've been involved in over the years. So, it is, you know, it must be like existing on two planes. I mean, you've got the one that everybody else is on, and then obviously you've got the one in the background. It's almost Lovecraftian in my mind.
Well, you know, you haven't noticed this, but there's lots of times where if I have to travel further than I normally would on a day-to-day basis, I usually have someone drive me. So I'll need a driver because even traveling I-45 here in Houston, Texas, for those of you that do not know what I'm referring to, it's Houston, Texas. It's one of the deadliest freeways in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes, it
when
is.
I'm making the route on the freeway, I see so many lingering spirits that have died there from car accidents.
Yeah.
And so they're very distracting to me. So having a driver drive me, especially on 45, it's very important because I get very distracted by the deceased.
Was it 45? There was a section where there was a very prolific serial killer who to this day they haven't caught. I think it was 45. There's a whole chunk of it that this guy used to prowl and there's umpteen, and again, there's probably a lot of victims they didn't find. So you've got that as well. But yeah, it is a very, and I've driven the 45 many times, not far off the 45 actually now. And the way people, I'm surprised as anybody survives that road ever. I mean, they just drive like absolute maniacs. It's just ridiculous. But.
Now, Catherine, I was wondering, is this something that you can shut off when you don't want to use it? Like, is there a way you can kind of close it off at times?
Rarely. You know, even when, you know, let's say one of my kids comes into the room and I'm just trying to unwind, they're telling me about their day, you know, and I'm actually looking mm-hmm. into what's happening, just happened. And it's the same thing at a restaurant. So what, you know, a lot of fun things that I don't normally just walk around looking at people,
right.
but there's times that I have been out and I just happen to notice something in someone's energy field. And so it's very interesting because even when you're out and about and you just glance over at a bar and you know everyone's checking each other out at a bar, well, mm-hmm. you can actually see energetically who's going to go home with who at the bar. You know, you see the you see the frequency feelers go out. It almost looks like little tiny thin threads, and it goes out to the person. It's like feeling their energy. It's like, I don't think so. And then you see one, it's like,
Well,
and then
I
need, you're like, okay, you know what?
I need you as my wingman then, Catherine. I'm sort of getting back and trying to get back to dating. I could do with a good wingman because I'm terrible at it. I'm just hopeless. It's been that long. Back the last time I was dating, it was, you know, you would actually go to a bar and you would meet people, not all this bloody Tinder and, oh, it's just, I don't know. It's just beyond me. It really, there's, I'm about to give in, to be honest. What do you do?
You're saying is you're coming over in about 30 minutes and we're going to go hit the bar and I'm going to help you find.
Well, yeah, seriously. Yeah. I can let Christina carry the rest of the show. Yeah, I can be with you in 30 minutes. Absolutely. I will be there.
Oh, my gosh. So I actually am so fascinated by psychics, and I watch a lot of the, you know, Ghost Hunter shows, and my aunt got me into watching, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's a psychic, Amy Allen. Have you heard of her?
No.
No, okay.
I watch a lot of real TV.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you, you know, had it, because, you know, sometimes I watch the show and I'm like, okay, supposedly she has this guy who, it's called Dead Files, the boyfriend just told me, but I guess she has a partner who is a cop and he investigates the cases, and then without them talking, she'll, you know, if it's real, it sounds really spooky, but if it's not, but that's where I'm like, okay, I know it's TV, but it's also, you know, reality TV. So how much is real? I just don't know. I watch it and I'm skeptical, but I want to believe, you know.
If it's on TV, it's usually somewhat scripted. And,
right.
You know, that's what you're going to get because that's what sells the episodes. So
they're going to make it dramatic. Yeah, I mean, it's like Bigfoot Hunters. It's on like its 9th season. They ain't found him yet, and yet people still tune into. And I know there was a show in back in England. It was like Ghost or whatever it's called, Ghost and Derek Acor, I think his name was. And it was just literally. I mean, obviously it's cheap TV to make. Because they're going to an abandoned, you know, manor house, asylum, hospital, whatever, yeah. The night vision camera, so it was green, a little bit spooky, close up on faces, that, and then obviously one of the camera crews slam a door in the background, and they'll scream and run around, and that's the highlight of the show. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's obviously... It's scripted. It's sensational. It's made up. I mean, to be honest with you. But then again, I mean, we've had Ghost Hunters on this show. I've forgotten the names now. Tamara and Alistair.
Yes,
and I remember. And they said, you know, that Tamara actually. You know, she pronounces it wrong. And they said, you know, like, you know, they go out to hauntings and all this loss, and they sound like 99% of it, there's an explanation. But there's that 1% the yes, only way they can explain it is by something else. And that's what puts a shiver up the spine, you know?
Yes. Definitely.
Oh, well, for sure. Think about everyone walking the planet. For every one person living, there's five disincarnated spirits. For every one person that's walking in a physical body, there's five disincarnated spirits.
So, where are they all then? Where do all the spirits go? Do they just all hang around? Or?
Yeah, various places. And not all of them see each other. So some of them, you know, like I went to a house in Houston to do a clearing. And when I looked out in the back, because they kept complaining about a noise. Well, the noise was actually a little old lady inside the house. But when I looked in the backyard, there was a man in the backyard wearing a military uniform. And he was just sitting back there as if he was sitting on something. And there was nothing underneath him. But he was waiting for his guys to come and pick him up. And he had died, I mean, decades and decades ago. And, you know, there he was sitting there. And they did not interact. Yeah. Him and the old lady didn't interact.
Even the spirits can be on different planes, yeah?
Yes, yes. Not all of them, but some of them can be on different planes. I thought, how lonely, you know? At least these two could have been talking, but nope, they were not. In fact, they both went into the light separately. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of ghosts out there, and it's really crazy because most people don't know it. But James, where between your house and mine, it used to be big Indian grounds way before any of this was developed. Yeah, so there's a shopping center here that when I walk into it and I get midway through, the first time I walked there was like 100 spirits that came out of nowhere, and I thought I was going to lose it.
Wow.
I mean, it just felt so suffocating.
I can imagine. Yeah. I didn't know this area had Native American history. So there's just sort of burial grounds. I wouldn't be surprised if with some of the stuff the dogs dig up out of the backyard, I wouldn't be surprised if there's either a graveyard or the guy who bought the house off has buried bodies under the back. You have to come through, Catherine, and have a look, because I'm sure I would not be surprised if one day one of the pups is going to bring in a sort of thigh bone or something that they've dug up out the backyard.
You know, as fascinating as it is for me, it also scares me. And like my mom, she passed away a few years ago, and we were really close. And I've always, you know, it's a joke that, you know, if she were a ghost and she were around me, she knows how scared I am of the supernatural and things like that. So, like, she'd be, you know, around being really quiet so she didn't scare me, you know. So I just picture
As soon as you started talking, your mom is with you, and your mom's not a ghost. So there's a difference between a ghost and a spirit that's crossing to the light. Spirits that cross into the light go directly into the light. They get charged up by source energy. They visit their friends and family during the time their family's grieving. Then they go back to source light and recharge themselves. And then they can come back and visit. And they come back and visit whenever we mention their name, whenever it's their birthday, things like that. But a ghost never goes into the light. And your mom actually went into the light. And as soon as you started talking about your mom, a big burst of white light came through here. And she told me that she is a crystal light being now. She's like a crystal angel. And so whenever people come in, they can identify with who they want to identify with during this lifetime. So like we have Sir James, you know, he is Sir James during this lifetime, but he's not Sir James on the other side. You know, he has a different identity, and Sir James is merely the person he is choosing to be during this time period. But your mom right now, your mom has not reincarnated yet. She's still on the other side, but she did go into the light. She's very happy. She's showing me a lot of crystal light, and she's smiling. She's like, look, I've got all this beautiful crystal. And her outfit, everything is crystal. And so if I had to describe what she's wearing right now, it almost reminds me of, you know, like Glinda the Good Witch from Oz. like that beautiful big white dress. It's like that kind of outfit. And whenever I look at her, because they can age themselves down. So when they pass and they're older, they can choose the age they want to be. And she's showing me she's 24.
That was
so
a great age.
She's showing
up
as age 24. Yeah, and she's telling me that was one of her favorite times in life was age 24.
Mm, wow. Yeah, I do joke about it. I even started to write a story about the, you know, in my head, it was a ghost who knew she didn't want to scare me, you know, so she's creeping around trying to be really quiet so she doesn't, you know, and the dogs, of course, are going crazy because they can see her. That's, you know, my story. So
I love
because
it.
Because it really does. That's one of the, I mean, I love to watch the stuff on the TV and stuff, but as far as, you know, it actually happened in real life, it terrifies the crap out of me. And that's why I think that, you know, the people that have these gifts, they really have to, I couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with it. I would be, like you said, in the corner rocking, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's like sometimes there's so much to learn from the deceased and there's so much to learn from the spirit world. And that's what my, you know, whenever I'm writing these stories, it's so not only do I tell you this is what I know, I don't want to say it's because I told you so, you know, I want you to understand the story and the struggle I went through and the panic of seeing seeing some of the things I had to see, like with these glasses that I read for you. I want you to hear the story behind it so it helps you to, you know, recognize your own gifts and perhaps go back and think about experiences that you've had and maybe things that were off-centered or that you knew deep down, because my belief is everybody is psychically gifted, but a lot of people do not choose to experience it because of whatever they're dealing with in their life or perhaps what they're consuming or the way they're living. There's different factors. But if you scare easily, you might not want to read It Was Murder, which is that book I have coming out in October, because those are true stories of things that I've read for. So, you know, I try to tame it back a little bit, but it's it's definitely going to be James's cup of tea.
I'm looking forward to the signed hardback to go with my others, you know, but I think that Xtina may have to give that one a miss because I don't think she'd sleep ever again, ever, to be honest.
Oh, gosh, I know. Sometimes when we're
I just have to say, I mean, for somebody who's literally a big scaredy cat, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, she's partners in a horror book publisher. you maybe picked the wrong career move there, Xtina, to be honest. You
know? I know, and even like, you know, some of the poetry I write, it can be really chilling at times, but for me, it's just a way to kind of purge, you know, the negative or the bad feelings. I'm a big scaredy. I mean, we'll have the horror authors on and they'll read something, you know, extremely gruesome. And I'm like, well, that's it. I'm not sleeping tonight. You know, thanks for that. But, oh my gosh. But I'm just looking at the cover of your book and How I Found My Superpowers. And when you go to make out the signed copy, that's XTINA.
Okay.
Woo. But
I'll send you one, baby, for sure.
Yay.
You know, she's shameless. She's shameless. Every time.
True.
Every time. Oh, but I have my copy, so and it's there on the shelf with my signed Stephen King and Clive Barker and Chuck Palahniuk and James Service, Pride of Place. So but I have to say you must come back on the show, Catherine, when the new book comes out later this year, because that I am really, really looking forward. That's the sort of thing that will probably end up being a Netflix series, I think, because they could do a case each week, you know, and I would just binge the hell out of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could write him 100 episodes for sure. But I have a workbook series coming out in July called Self-Help Slut. And it's cleaning your energy.
Yeah.
it's about cleaning your energy field of other people's shit and really how to purge it to where you can actually begin to move forward and move beyond some of the things that we hold on to.
That's why I write, so I don't hold on to things.
Awesome.
And maybe when we have you on the show next, I won't be so nervous. I am sweating for some reason. I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know. It's fascinating.
Well, you're
but
fire
in
and knife all in one, baby. So that's what happens, you know?
Ooh, I've had such a great time with you on the show. I wish we could keep you for the whole show. I don't, you know, we should be able to do that, James. We're the boss here, aren't we? I mean,
well, you are. I'm just the talent. You're the boss. I just turn up.
It's true. So, I want to know. I don't know. I'm just going to stutter for a few minutes. Yeah,
I think you've actually rendered Xena speechless, Catherine. So, A, well done, and B, thank you. It's the first time in 275 shows she's been stumped for words, which is brilliant. So tell us, Catherine, where can we find you? Where can the good listeners buy your books? Where are you online?
Well, the book is being sold. The book's being sold everywhere books are, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BOCO, everywhere. And we have, I also have a TikTok channel called Psychic Catherine Branham, where I do a lot of teaching on spiritual stuff. I've told some ghost stories on there, things that have happened to me. And my website is CatherineBranham.com. Kabook is PsychicCatherineBranham.com. And follow me on Instagram because we've got a lot of cool giveaways where we're going to be giving things away every week up until the workbook series launch. And we've got cool merchandise, T-shirts and buttons, pins, magnets, everything, calendars, just all kinds of crazy stuff for the workbook series. So, yeah, feel free to catch me up there. And on Twitter, it's PsychicKB. Yeah.
I definitely follow you everywhere. And, I am a fridge magnet slut. Every time we go anywhere, I have to have a fridge magnet. Yeah,
hey, that could be the next book series, couldn't it? Fridge magnet slut. That'd be great.
I'm feeling that coming on for her.
There you go. It'll be a way to be Christmas number one on Amazon, that one.
I'd buy it. Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
So much. Thank you so much, Catherine. And yeah, you have to promise to come back.
I will. I'm so excited. Yay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And I will see you for lunch very shortly. I'll look forward to that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you
have
for joining us.
Night,
have a
guys.
Wonderful evening. Okay, Catherine. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Wow, that was, that flew by. She was brilliant. Absolutely fascinating. I told you she was fascinating. Absolutely.
I don't know why I'm sweating.
You're all sweaty and tongue-tied, which is very rarely happens. I'm impressed. But so anyway, you need to compose yourself, crack open another box of Chardonnay, and we will be right back.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, hey, we're back. I had a nice big wee, I have to say. And you're on your third box of Chardonnay now, Xtina.
Which is nice.
Do you know it was? And yeah. Yeah, it's It is. It literally, I had goosebumps.
I did.
Not, you know,
yeah.
not sweaty like you, but you know, I had the goosebumps. But
yeah.
As you know, I mentioned I had a very sort of sad occasion. My old laptop that I've had. God, it's actually older than my daughter. I brought it over from England. It's so old, it has Windows Vista on it. For those of you that can remember Windows bloody Vista.
Wow,
and
I
finally, yeah. And I knew the day would come. And of course it came when I was, you know, fighting against the deadline. And the day came when she finally gave up the ghost, bless her. So I know, I've written literally... Everything I've had published, all my ghostwriters, everything I've written on the old laptop. It was an old, not even an expensive one. It's a cheap PC World, only a generic brand one. And she's, I had the keyboard replaced about 3 years ago, because literally all the, the figures on the keys were gone. And it was sticky. Anyway, I haven't got the heart to throw her away. She's there, and I can't, because she got to a point. She just I'd be halfway through, and she just cut out, and then give it a bit and get it back going again. And this is, I mean, it's plugged in because the battery life was, and I timed it, was 7 minutes. The battery would last 7 minutes.
That's awful.
So look, I never used it. I always had it, always plugged in, but we just cut it. So had to bite the bullet, and at the weekend I went and bought, just popped out and bought a nice bit. Got a really good deal at Best Buy, actually. I'm getting used to the new one, and I mean, it's good. I mean, it's a nice. State of the art, and now the keyboard's pretty nice and clunky. I like it as well, but it's, you know, it's just not the same. It's just I'm gonna be mourning, I think, for a while. And again, I don't know. I mean, we could give her a Viking burial or something, or you know, although you're not supposed to set fire to cadmium batteries, are you? But anywho, you know, we should do a moment of silence for. for my old laptop, but and it's I'll tell you something. I bet this new one will not last
as
long.
I think they're making things, you know, the shelf life of them shorter and shorter of everything now. I mean,
well,
it's
actually a thing. It's called built-in obsolescence, and they do it with cell phones and computers and cars and all sorts, so you have to go and buy a new one. I mean, it is a thing. That's what they do.
And
it is very cynical, but, you know, that business, you know, there's no point. If you built a cell phone that was it, you just needed one, it would last you forever and didn't need updates or anything, then they would go out of business because nobody's buying new cell phones anymore. But,
yeah, that's true. But it's just awful. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
But can whine about everything that's fallen apart. You know, I wanted to complain for a second. We need that complaining, you know, segment. But
we
Misha
need that. Complaint corner. Yes.
This is mine. Misha still has not eaten for us. Still, it's been... her last meal, I think, was in November.
Wow.
So,
well, funnily enough, my oldest ball python, Monty, he's not eaten the past 2 months. It's funny, cause it was feeding time. I fed the others, they had not a problem, and he just ignored it. And, of course, this morning, he's poking his little head out like, hello, oi, excuse me.
Yeah.
I might throw him one out and see, but bless him.
We the other two ate fine, and we always feed her last, hoping that maybe she, you know, can smell the other, you know, rats. And we, you know, went to feed her, and as soon as he dangled the rat in front of her, she just turned up her head. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So she still, you know, he gets her out every other day or so, and She's got a great disposition. She looks nice and healthy. You know, she's very inquisitive, but she just has no interest in eating right now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess until she starts looking, you know, sick or something, she, just let her be.
Well, I say they can go a long time without eating, and as long as she's looking healthy and well. It's like mine. I think he won't spend, I think, 5 months. Over winter without even eating, and then spring came, and he was I've had him since 99, so he's done all right, bless him. In fact, you know, I just looked
right.
it up because I'm with the old laptop, back to my laptop. It's just, I'm traumatized by this, obviously, you know, because I remember it was the year the Watchmen movie came out. Because that was my screensaver, which was 2009. So that's how old that bloody laptop is.
Wow.
Yeah, so actually that makes it the same age. Yeah, my daughter was she was born in 2009. So actually makes it the same age as my daughter. So there you go. Anywho, so it is that time. It is that time of the evening, methinks, when we say...
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Yay, Samantha.
Yeah, are you going to join in, Samantha, or not? I mean, it's up to you.
No, I'm definitely here.
Make an effort.
It's been a long day.
Make it. It's been a long day since, like, 7, pretty much.
How are you all doing this evening?
Ready for the week. We say this every week, you know, because obviously it is a late night. It's a late night for me, anyway. I could do it a bit, but yeah, we've got Friday. We've got Friday to battle through, yeah. And I've actually got a packed day tomorrow, a busy day tomorrow with one thing and another, and it's like, what have you got?
Thinking about it.
But you know, I was tired. I was up at 5 this morning because the puppies needed to go out. And to be fair,
they
bark and I need to get up. I mean, they're still babies, you know, but at least they're letting me know, okay, it's 5 in the fucking morning. Sometimes I lay down, they just pee on the floor. Please, just piss on the floor. just let me sleep. But it's got, you know, and so at least we're getting there. So hopefully their bladder capacity will increase, and at some point they'll be getting up at a decent hour. So, yeah, I've been up a fair bit. But anywho, what have you got for us this evening, Samantha?
So I just finished Lucinda Berry's Under Her Care. I have Prime, so you get that Amazon first reads with Prime, and it was one of the options for the month. And so it doesn't actually release. I think maybe it's 2 more weeks. It isn't out yet, unless you have Amazon first reads. But it's a really interesting story. It's a thriller, and the premise is that this boy named Mason has been accused of murdering this woman named Annabelle, and the only people that were there were, you know, the woman he killed, him and his mom. And he is autistic, and I think this book just hit home for me in all these areas that I didn't expect it to, because both of my kids are autistic. And I get reading this book and it goes in a direction I'm not expecting it to go in. And then I just get real pissed off because it's like the audacity of some of the actions of these people in this book. It's like, oh my God. It's very, very interesting. And it has like some chapters in there where you're not really sure whose point of view it is. And that adds to the story, because then you're like, what in the fuck is going on? Because it's almost written like a poem format. Some of these chapters are, and you have no idea who it is. And then the ending is really different. It's from a different point of view than what I was expecting. So I was kind of like, I liked the ending. I think I was just hoping for it to be like about somebody different. You have to read it to understand. But it was a good book. I gave it 4 stars for a thriller. It shocked me more than the ones that I've been reading here lately have. I feel like most of the thrillers now are all like the same, and this one wasn't the same.
Interesting. I've been reading like romance for the last couple of months here, but I kind of feel like I need to get, you know, back into horror just a little bit. I've been playing email tag with Grady Hendrix now for a couple months, trying to get him on the show because I read My Best Friend's Exorcism in I don't even know how quickly I read that because I loved it. You know, it said
I
the
read
80s,
that one. It was a good book.
I grew up in the 80s, so, I mean, it had so much nostalgia for me. I just loved it. And I have to admit, that was the first book I'd read by him. I did not know how scary it was going to be. I had nothing going into it. So there was
I think that
one
was
moment,
the first one that I read, too.
There was one moment when we knew the best friend, I can't remember their names now, when we knew that she was possessed. And she's whispering in the ear of the main character. And I was really freaked out because I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to do something awful. So, I mean, I was I actually got chills at that point. I mean, it really wasn't as scary as I think I had hoped for a book about exorcisms, you know, because they really wig me out. But, I mean, I loved the book. I was such a fan. I got done with it, and I think I even teared up at the ending. I'm a sucker for an ending. I really am.
Yes.
I mean, you...
I wasn't a huge fan of, like, the storyline of the book, but I like the friendship between the two girls. One, there's Gretchen, yeah. And I can't think of the other girl's name, but I really did like the friendship between them, and the one girl was like, she's trying so hard to save her friend, and I'm like, do good.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, it just more and more things keep happening. But I liked that one, too, for like a first Grady Hendrix. I've heard a lot of people don't really like horror stories, so I'm glad I didn't start with that one.
I have that one. I think I have almost all of them now just because I love that book so much. And I read We Sold Our Soul, and it was okay, but I don't know what I expected, but some things just got a little weird for me, so I was like,
I haven't read
I don't
that
know
one.
What to, I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I still liked it because I like his writing, but it got weird, and I seriously was at the point where I don't understand what I'm supposed to do now. But, yeah, so, and then I couldn't wait to go out and buy the Southerners Book Club, whatever that one was.
Oh,
it's
the vampire one. I had
yeah.
that one, and I gave it to my friend because I just have all these books to read. It's like never ending. I was like, you just take it. It's fine. You read it. I'll get it back later. And she read it and loved it so much she kept it, you know, because I didn't want it back. And I still haven't read it yet. I'll probably never get to it.
Yeah, I started that one. Again, sometimes when I start a book, I'm just not in the mood to read that genre at the time. So I put it down for a little bit, and that's basically, maybe I'll start again. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, when we get closer to, like, the fall is when I'll start reading more horror books. For some reason, just that's when you do it, you know, for me anyway. So
yes.
Maybe I'll pick it back up. Again, I got Final Girl Support Club because that sounded really good, too. And so anyway, I've been playing email tag with him. You know, every few months I'll message him and he'll be like, yeah, I got, you know, and he'll tell me when to start bugging him again to be on the show. So, you know, if you're listening, Grady, I'm not going to give up. So you might as well just come on the show. Because I'm just going to pester you and hound you until you say yes. So, I mean, that's how we get all of our guests, you know, is pestering.
So. The persistence is key.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, what are you reading now?
My friend Misha sent me home with like a whole box of books yesterday, and I was like digging through them before the show started because I was like, I need something else to read. So I grabbed Disney by Matt Shaw. It's good. It's I don't think it's what I wanted right now, but it's super, super short. There's only like 5 stories, and I think there's like 2 left. So I'll go ahead and finish it, and I'll move on to something else tomorrow.
Yeah, I started reading. It's one of those bestseller books, you know, on the shelves at the bookstore. It's called Lucky, and it's this girl and her boy. Well, this girl who grew up being pretty much a grifter. Her and her dad did like cons. That's all they ever did. And she buys lottery tickets, you know, just every time. Anyway, she her and her boyfriend get made. And she's got to go kind of like on the run, and she's holding different identity and everything. And then she realizes that she's got the winning lottery ticket, and it's like $390 million, but she can't do anything with it. She can't do anything with it because then she'll, you know, go to prison. So,
oh
my God, wouldn't that suck? That would suck.
That would really suck. I agree.
So I'm reading that, and I'm trying to figure out, is it going to, you know, what's going to happen in it, because it's pretty interesting, you know. It's the feeling of she has no home, she has no job, she's just out there in the world, and I'm like, it sounds kind of exciting, but totally scary at the same time, and it's fascinating. Yeah. So I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I don't know what I'll pick up tomorrow, but it probably won't be, it probably won't be, you know, Disney. I'm hoping I'll be finished with it this evening and move on.
Well, I thank you, Sam, and I look forward to whatever you have for us next week. And, I'll tell you good night, and maybe you'll go to bed early and, you know, so you can get up early. That's, you know, what James does. He gets up at like 5:30 in the morning.
Hooray!
I do have to get up early. The oldest has school. so we do have to get up early.
Early for me is 10. That's early for me.
Yeah, and then it's off for breakfast, which kind of dissolves into lunch. And then I don't get any sense from you till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm winding down by the time you're back doing it.
I don't know what it's time is speeding up. That's just all there is to it. It is. And yeah. So yeah. Thank you, Sam. And I can't wait to see what you have for us next week.
Thank you guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Yeah, do you know, you're right. I read an interesting theory by Jeremy Clarkson, funnily enough. He said, obviously, you know, when you're sort of 10, you know, a year is a tenth of your life, yeah? But by the time you get to 50, obviously a year is 1/50th of your life. So relatively speaking, it's that's why I think perception-wise, it seems to be going fast. I remember... as a kid, just being bored. Sundays, a rainy Sunday, literally nothing on the TV, and we'd be bored. We would just be sat watching the rain coming down the window. Nothing to do, didn't want to do it. I'm just bored, you know? I'm going to sound bloody old now. Our generation would be the last generation of great imaginations, I think.
I agree.
I read a thing many, many years ago saying the best thing you can do for a kid is let them be bored every now and then, because they will use their imagination. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I would escape into a book or into my own imagination or whatever, you know. Now everything, all the entertainment is done for them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And, you know, when I was mentioning earlier about my son doing the welding, and, yeah, he'll make good money. That's great. But I just think it would be a waste for him. I think that he is destined for something more creative, you know. You've seen the books that kid reads.
The welding may generate him enough money so then he can do something something else. You know, my formative career, I was in sales and marketing for Toyota, for Duracell, you know, some big companies, you know. I did the whole corporate thing. I hated every fucking minute of it, I have to say. But, because, well, you know me, it's just not, can you imagine me in a suit and tie day in, day out, doing business meetings and doing all that? No. It was a square peg rammed into a round hole because, you know, life and career and all this bullshit. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, there's more to it than that, you know. So, the plus side, you know, I did earn a lot of money for my ex-wife to take. So,
there's
lining right there, you know. She did well out of it, so was that. It's funny now. Publishing company, you know, which is doing well, and obviously the ghostwriting and what have you. All these things, obviously, and I'm sort of slipping back towards doing all these things to earn money. Obviously, I do need to pay the bills and feed the kids and all the rest of it. And I've said, I'm determined to find the time to finish at least one of my projects. one of my, to bring out one of my own books this year. And I don't know how I'm going to, I literally, every minute of every day at the moment is slammed. And what I try to do, and I slipped into, I would just plan things for the weekends, you know, especially when the kids weren't around.
Right.
So I'll do that Saturday, do that Sunday. And it's fine. Then you're just doing seven days straight. And it's like, no, you need to force yourself to have a break. And obviously, since I bought the house, that's been a big help because now I'll do stuff around the house, or, you know, I'll go out and cut the grass or just something other than sitting behind my computer screen working. And it's great, you know? It's very sad when the highlight of my weekend is a little trip to Home Depot to buy a few bits to do some stuff around the house. Which reminds me, actually, it's Complaint Corner again. It's Complaint Corner. We need it. My weed whacker died. Again, I've had it. At least 6 years. Finally packed in, so I thought, I'll get another one. I'll try one of these electric ones, you know, with a battery one and all the rest of it, and instead of the petrol, the sort of gas-driven one. And it was shite. I got this thing, and I've got it all built and everything, and charged the battery up and there, and it's just just no power. It's just not actually cutting any of the, you know, those stringy bits of grass that come onto your path, yeah? I find it was kind of half cutting them, and I was pulling them out. And I thought, well, I might as well have not spent $200. I'm just going to pull the bloody things out myself. So I took it back to Home Depot, and she, you know, I said, I want my money back. I said, well, what's wrong with it? I said, it's shit. I said, really? It cuts nothing. And so I thought, right, okay. So I went on Amazon, and I'll buy another gas one, which should have been here Tuesday. And I've got on that loop now. It's running late. And then the girl said, if it's not here by the end of today, you have your money back. But that doesn't get my bloody pathway clear, does it? So I'm now, this is my run. You know, I've now got to look for another one, order another one, wait for another one, hope it fucking well turns up, you know, and... It just, there's so many things you try to buy stuff now, and it's either doesn't come at all, or when it does, it's crap, or it's something wrong with it, or it's just, I'm weary with it.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days, you know, we used to get things made in Britain. By Christ, they were made in Britain. they lasted forever. You know, it's funny, my dad, bless him, many, I remember him bought a lawnmower, electric lawnmower. And it was one of these offers, bring it back in, I think it's like 25 years, we'll give you your money back. And my dad's probably the only person in the history of forever, in the whole history of time, to do that. And he did it, and he kept it, kept his receipt, kept track of the receipt, 25 years, and took the thing back. And got his refund. And it was like, wow, you know?
Yeah. You know, if we go to the store and we come back home, and I've lost the receipt already. I don't know how he's done that. That was
crazy. I do that. Yeah. Oh, you get home and you look, where is that? Oh, yeah. And it's somewhere between the store and home. The fairies have taken it. Yeah, that happens a lot.
You know, there's so many times. I bought my aunt something months and months ago. She's the one that comes up between Georgia and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, but she's been in Georgia for a while now. But I bought her something, and I put it somewhere for safekeeping. I'll be damned if I can find that. For the last 2 days, I've looked for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, where is, you know, and it's one of those things. So I'm going to put it here so I don't forget it. And no clue where it's at. None at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only a few places.
Yeah,
that
it's somewhere so safe, even you can't find it. So that's as safe as it gets, isn't it?
I know. I had this horrible thought that I'm never going to find it until we like move, but I don't plan on moving ever. So
nowadays, because you know, you don't always need, you don't need the receipt. I mean, nowadays you just go and give them your phone number or whatever, you know, and they will find it. But again, I'm that cynic. Even with someone who has bought the new laptop at the weekend, you know, I kept the receipt, obviously. And I do stuff like big purchases. I do, and I do keep track. I mean, plus as well, it's going to go through business expense, obviously. But I always keep the box, always, at least for 6 months. Maybe a year. I just put it in the garage. I've got a pile of boxes in the garage, of boxes of things I've bought, but just in case they're going to go back. You know, like the electric weed whacker thing, you know? I kept the box. I could have just thrown the box away and kept it. I might need it, and I did. Stuffed it all back in the box and took it back, you know. So that's cynical, you know. That is cynical.
I don't know if that's a guy thing or not. You know, the boyfriend does that too. In the garage, it's just full of, you know, eventually he'll decide, you know, I'm going to throw this box away or that box away. But
well, it's because we know. We know. You know, we know, you know, the odds are at some point the damn thing is going back, you know, and it's easy to box, if you kept the box, to box it all back up again and send it. But, I think I'm boring myself. All this grown-ups. And I, you know, and again, I long for the days of being, you know, being a kid again. You know, when the best thing in the world is when you found a really good stick. you know, why can't we do that now? I'd love to just go have a chance to go back and just. It'd be nice to be able to go back and tell our, you know, that bored 10-year-old self, look, enjoy this boredom time, because there will come a time when you don't have the time to be bored. And you just really would wish for that time, you know.
Yeah. I used to love to, I don't know what you'd call it. Collecting is not the right word. Bugs. I would have a coffee can full of dirt and then bugs. I loved grasshoppers and those little roly-poly, what are those little potato bugs?
I think we call them woodlice back in England. I think you call them roly-polies here, yeah.
Roly polies, oh my God, I have this awful story. I have to tell it though because I was traumatized by the grasshoppers. Now this is going to sound awful, but when I was little, I didn't want to. No, I can't tell the story. People think I'm awful. I can't tell it.
yeah, you've got to. You've started now.
I used to get the grasshoppers, and I would. This is so awful. I would pull off their legs so they couldn't fly away. Isn't that awful? There's more to the story. So there was this one grasshopper, and it was huge. It was, like, scary big. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want it to fly away, so I'm going to do that too. So this is awful. I grabbed it by the head and one of the legs, and I pulled, and the head, like, kind of like detached, and there was this like thing that was connecting, and then I know it gets even worse. It like the head like spun around backwards, so it was like looking up, and then it started like hopping. And ever since then, I've been like terrified of grasshoppers because it's kind of like, you know, the movie The Birds, how they like ganged up and they, you know, tormented this woman. Well, I think the grasshoppers are going to do that to me.
They will rise up against
for a sin I committed when I was like, you know, 6 years old or something.
I do not think it would serve you right for being horrible. It's just a horrible, horrible thing.
It would. Yeah, I didn't think I was being horrible. I just wanted them as they were my friends. You know, I didn't have brothers or sisters. So the grasshoppers were my friends.
It's probably just as well because you'd have probably pulled their legs off as well and spun their heads around. Be honest. You know, you were only two steps away from being a serial killer. So, I shall view you with a different light.
Yeah, I don't even know. That sounds just awful. When I know, it's like, as soon as I started telling them, I'm like, oh God, I can't tell this story. But yeah, that's mm-hmm. one of my awful stories there. But yeah, grasshoppers totally creep me out now. But just, you know,
yeah,
because I
oh, you'd love it here. I mean, when I'm cutting the lawn, you know, we have those big green ones. These things are probably what, 3 or 4 inches long, the big ones. And I take great care. You know, if they hop the wrong way, I will actually stop. And I will go and pick them up and just move them to a bit that I've already cut. I just don't like the thought of running these poor little things over, you know. So I'm a big softy, really. Yeah.
You are.
I'm a big softy.
Did you? We were talking about, speaking to Misha. I think it was yesterday. Christian was down in the living room, and he's got Misha out, and we have a thing where we just let the snakes do what snakes do. So he just lets her crawl around, and mm-hmm. she winds her way down the stand that we have in there and stuff. And, you know, we got a couple of dogs that are asleep on the couch, and my dog, he's the older one, you know, he doesn't really see really good. And he's kind of wandering around the living room, but even if he did see Misha, he's old. He just wants to be mm-hmm. left alone. But anyway, he gets a little too close, and Christian's trying to push him away. And then, of course, if you touch him wrong, he starts to yelp like you've heard him. So Christian pushes him away. He yelps. The other dog is like, what's going on there? And she jumps down. So now Christian's got, you know, both of his hands trying to keep dogs away from the snake. And he's hollering for me from the other room.
But, oh, my goodness.
There was no carnage, nothing, you know, but there was a few moments there that you know, we're never scared that Misha's going to hurt them because, you know, she's not that big. But they would definitely hurt her. So
my dogs, every now and then, they'll bring a little garter snake in from my yard. It's funny, I'm actually letting the back grow. I'm allowing it to grow a little bit. I mean, we've got this huge, big back yard, and the dogs like a bit of tall grass and that. But I daren't let it grow too, you know, because what I don't want to do is attract, you know, because coral snakes are common around here, rattlesnakes. I mean, this is obviously Texas. So it's just that fine line. How tall dare I let it grow before I you know, it needs cutting. I don't want to lose any of the dogs to snake, you know, rather than killer snakes. But people post on next door, you know, quite often people look at the coral snakes to find, because they climb in the trees, you know, we've got a lot of trees. They find them in the backyard. And, yeah, you've got to be careful.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? While we have a few minutes here, I was going to mention my poetry book that I want to put out sometime this year. I have not pinpointed, you know, when, but it's all ready to go, and it's I have cover art, and you know, it's always exciting when you think, you know, finalize on the title of it.
I presume Luke Spooner's done the cover art again.
He has.
Have I seen it? I don't think. Have I seen the cover art for this one?
You have. Yeah.
You did. I think you've done it. Yeah. I'm sure. If Luke's done it, it'll be spectacular. So.
When it's poetry, you just kind of tune it out. So, but
I do. Yes, I do. As soon as you say it's poetry, my brain just is off thinking of.
I know.
You know.
I love that I can see such a growth in my poetry, and this is no different. I read some of the poems now, and I'm like, I don't even really remember writing those, and they mm-hmm. just the cover art is gorgeous, and you know, I love the title, Where the Dirt Road Leads, and I'm just excited about it, so I'm gonna start I'm gonna start probably promoting, you know, that it's coming soon, even though I have no clue, you know, maybe in the fall or something like that. So, but I'm really excited. So anybody out there listening, Where the Dirt Road Leads by Xtina Murray, coming soon. So,
I shall look forward to my signed copy then. That'll be great.
Definitely.
I have one signed copy of Dark Musings from, I think, shortly after we very first met. So I'll probably do another one.
This will be book 7, so you have a few that I need to
get on the
ball with.
I do. Yep. So anywho, time is obviously sadly our second guest who probably slept in. We didn't get him today, but our listener has had all the joy of listening to us. I think so. We've spoiled them, and obviously thank you to lovely Catherine Brannan and the lovely Samantha Hawkins. And it is that time we have to say good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.